Thank you, Lord. Wasn't that a precious time? Wow. Thank you, Gina. You may be seated if you're willing and able. Well, do you love the Lord? Man, I love the Lord. And what Gina said there, that is absolutely true, you know, as far as drawing closer to Him. And we'll, matter of fact, we'll talk a little bit, let's see, an update. And anybody who's we've been praying, Jessica, and is it your son? Or I know Gina, how's he doing? Yes, what's his name? Cotton? Lord, we just thank you. If we could just pray, Lord, thank you for Cotton. Thank you. Does he know the Lord, Cotton? So, Lord, we pray for you ministering to Cotton, Lord, to this surgery. We just thank you for blessing him. We thank you for a good result in Jesus' name. We thank you for bringing comfort to Cotton's soul, his heart, and his mind. Lord, speak to him during this difficult time. Lord, encourage him and strengthen him. Encourage his family and bless him. Lord, we thank you for a miraculous result. And we bless him. We bless Cotton in the name of Jesus, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for continuing to touch our dear sister Jessica. Your hand upon her, blessing her. Thank you for her. Thank you for this family that loves her and her family. And we just thank you, Lord, for continuing to heal her body. Thank you, Father, for a good result. We thank you for a good report in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we bless you and honor you. Thinking of Isaiah 53, it says, whose report do you believe? And then it goes on to talk about what Jesus would accomplish for us. Now what Jesus has accomplished for us. Amen. So we thank you for blessing those. Lord, those who have been sick and ill, thank you for touching our bodies, in healing our bodies, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so I'm excited a little bit tonight because the John session. Does anybody know what session we're on? 76. Goes by quick. And now it's number 76. That rhymed, didn't it? So we're going to talk about humility tonight, but in a little bit different twist, right? And a little different twist because we think of humility, we always think about, okay, what do I need to do, right, to get humble? But we'll see where the Lord takes us tonight. So John chapter 8, verse 21, we read this last week, I believe. I'm going to read it again, then we'll start off from there. John 8:21. Then he said again, that's Jesus, to them, I'm going away, and you will look for me, and will die in your sin. That's rough, isn't it? That way he was talking, and we'll pull out some other scriptures of what Jesus said specifically for to some towns and cities. And you will die in your sin, and where I am going, you cannot come. And aren't you glad where he is? We're already seated with him spiritually, amen? And then we will see him face to face. Aren't you glad that with you knowing Jesus, that this doesn't apply to you? If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, amen? His Spirit lives in you. Aren't you glad you don't hear those words? Could you imagine that crowd hearing that? Those words, you will die in your sin. And where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews were saying, you know, they never were thinking on a spiritual plane. It was always on a natural plane, wasn't it? Where am I going? You cannot come. So the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself. Will he? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. And let me just say some of these things that Jesus, it's just kind of shocking what Jesus said to the Jewish people in some of the cities during that time when he walked on the earth. So I'm going to go to Matthew 11. So these are all in the NASB. Matthew 11, verses 20 through 24. This is Jesus. Then he began to reprimand the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethesda, for if the miracles that occurred in you had occurred in Tyre and in Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And then he goes on, and you, Capernaum. He did a lot of ministry in Capernaum, by the way. That was one of like his headquarters where he did a lot of miracles, went into the synagogue a lot there in Capernaum. So he spent a lot of time there ministering. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. Wow. You'll be brought down to Hades. For if the miracles that occurred in you had occurred, listen to this, had occurred in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. Wow. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. And so those are the things that he said to that for that generation. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit why, you know, as the Lord ministered to me personally a few days ago as I was studying for this and just kind of opened my eyes a little bit, just really, really softened my heart. Not that I had a hard heart, but sometimes we can be dealing with some difficulties. Let me hear. Dealing with difficulties and struggles. And we find ourselves all of a sudden trying to figure it out. Or we can find ourselves defenseful. You know, people that would come against us or question us or different things, you know. You know what I'm talking about? And so we can find ourselves becoming defenseful. We can find ourselves trying to stand up for, you know, for whatever the situation is, and out of our own mind and intellect saying, hey, I'm pushing back here. And I'm not saying there isn't a time for certain things to stand up, but I was talking about things in my life where I was trying to figure some things out and with finding myself becoming burdened. You ever been there? Burdened. And so if the miracles you saw, let me continue, if the miracles you saw had been performed in Sodom, it would remain. And, you know, here's the thing. Why was the thing, as I began to look at this, why was it that Jesus was doing miracles, that they rejected him to the point that they would spend eternity separated from God? When Jesus the Messiah came, that they, for a big part of Israel, would reject him. And this is that they did not believe because, and we're going to vet this out, they did not believe because of Jesus' humility. I'm going to go in there, because of Jesus' humility. Let me tell you, as we look at this, see, when Jesus came, when they were looking for the Messiah, they were not looking for anything like Jesus was. He didn't come with fanfare, did he? We know there were some wise men, a group of wise men, some people. There was some shepherds that heard about it. There was a prophetess in the temple who were told when Jesus came into the temple to be dedicated. They were told, right? And then as he began to grow up and minister, what were the things that they would say to him? They would see the miracles. They would see him speaking with such authority. And the first thing they would say is, like in his hometown, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't he a son of a carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? Don't we know Jesus' brothers and sisters? And it said they took offense of him. Jesus, and we'll read some other scriptures, it's Jesus' humility. They totally took offense at him and said, this can't possibly be the Christ. Everything that they had thought in their mind and been taught said there's going to be this pompous fanfare. It was going to be anything but somebody riding into town on a donkey. Anybody but somebody who, as it says in Isaiah 53, who says that when you looked at him, we would not desire him. There was no beauty in his physical appearance that anybody would desire him. There was nothing in his upbringing that would somebody said, hey, look at him, how special he is. Look at his talents. Look at his wisdom. There was nothing in him that people would say, that could possibly be him. No, it was actually contrary. So Jesus' humility and who he was, they took offense to him and said, this can't possibly be the Son of God. See, we live in a society today, even just understand this, that humility is rejected. Humbled. True humbleness. No, if you see those that are famous or social media, it's those that have their act together. Those who appear in their own flesh to obtain everything in the world. Amen? Those are the ones that what people will look at. You know, even even as I see, and this is how I kind of roll and think about it. I'll think about things like this, like football right now, and all of a sudden there's this particular football player's girlfriend who's very famous, Taylor Swift. I don't know much about her. But all of a sudden, you know, this particular football player is dating her, right? And so now when you watch these football games, it's all about this Taylor Swift. And all of a sudden, this gentleman who's dating her, they don't know that he doesn't love the Lord. I don't see any evidence he does. And all of a sudden, he's very famous. He's lifted up. The NFL is lifting him up for whatever reason because he's dating this certain singer. Now when I watch these football games, he's doing all of these commercials. He's got all the world by the tail. People look at him for whatever, saying, wow. Wow, look at him. This guy here has everything the world has to offer. This guy here, look at what he's obtained. So the world, the spirit of this world, the God of this world being Satan, lifting this up and saying, look at this. This is what it means to be happy. This is what it means to be successful. This is what it means to live the dream life. But you know this, and I know this, that it, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And we know that when we are walking with the Lord is our blessing, amen? But the Satan will lift people up to deceive people, especially our young people, to deceive them and say, look, if you could somehow pursue this, if you could put your affection and worship towards this type of idolatry, somehow you'll attain happiness. And it always seems to be opposite of what? Humility. Humility. They did not like Jesus' humility. Matthew 11, 28, 29. Let's look at what the heart of our Lord Jesus really is. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Aren't you glad you came to him? And I will give you rest. Let me read that again. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let me just say you that this few days ago, I was weary and burdened. This coming to him, being weary and burdened, doesn't mean you give your life to him once and then you no longer experience being weary and burdened. No, I've experienced many times of being weary and burdened in my life. Can anybody say yeah? Yes. So I had to come to him. You have to come to him when we start feeling that weary or burdened. It says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Well, how do we come into that rest? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Let me just say, he says, take my yoke. I've learned being a disciple of Jesus Christ, take my yoke upon you. It's also what Jesus says, take up your cross. Well, sometimes we got to be careful because we think of taking up a cross like we can pay any price for our sins. No, I am crucified with Christ. I identify that all my sins, that he paid the price completely for me, amen? And in humility, humbling myself, I take that cross saying, yes, Jesus, you paid the price. I am your disciple. I'm going to follow you. But there's no price, we've talked about it, you can pay where you carry this cross. And God says, yeah, there, you hit it. You're just barely making it, and you're carrying that cross. No, this is what the Word of God says. It says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know, I'm looking forward in the coming days, weeks, months, and year to be learning from him. How about you? Can you say, Lord, I want to be learning from you? This is the wonderful part. Here's the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's the heart of the Father. He goes on to say, for I am gentle and humble in heart. See, this gentleness and humbleness in heart, I believe, is why Israel rejected him. It was opposite of the spirit of religion, which is, hey, get up, stamp, get going. Prove yourself. What were they saying? Prove yourself. Even his brother said, hey, if you're the Messiah, prove yourself. Why are you hiding in the wilderness? See, that's the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of religion. That's Peter saying, no, you're never going to. He just had a revelation that he was the Son of God. Then he said he would give his life as a ransom. And he says, no, you'll never do that, Lord. You'll never humble yourself to the point of even giving your life on the cross, because that's not what the Messiah is going to come and do. There's no way he's going to humble him point. It said he humbled himself to death, even the death on a cross. Jesus, for I am gentle and humble in heart. That's who our Lord and Savior is. He's not haughty. He's not arrogant. He's not self-promoting. He didn't have to promote him, because who gave him all the glory? His Father. Because he did give his life. He said his name, Jesus, is the name above all names now. Because of what he accomplished for you and I, purchasing us back, amen? For Adam's failure, mistake, purchasing us back, God said, I'm giving you a name which is above every name. And you're going to be the firstborn among many brethren and sisters. I'm going to have many children again because of what you were willing to do. Because you were willing to humble yourself, Jesus, to even the point on the cross. So what is the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is he's gentle and humble in heart. And when we realize that, when we understand his gentleness and humbleness, and then you will find rest for your soul. Amen. I love this. This is the NASB, but it says, for my yoke is comfortable. See, it says there, his yoke is made. What is his yoke? Here's the yoke. You say, Lord, I pursue you. I put on your humility. Lord, I pursue your heart. I want to have that same heart that you do. If he is gentle and humble in heart, then that's what he has for us. Not being a pushover, but gentle and humble in heart is the heart that is for you and I. The world isn't about gentleness, right? No, we know that. It's definitely not about humbleness. But our Jesus was so gentle, so humble, that his own people rejected him and said, nah, this is not what the Messiah is going to look like. They were thinking, no, on the contrary, he's going to be full of pride. He's going to be full of lifting himself up. But they didn't realize the true heart of the Son, the true heart of the Father, was gentleness and humbleness. My yoke is comfortable, my burden is light. The Jews were not thinking on a level of humility. Right? You think of those, look at those who understood Jesus' heart. I think of the woman who came in, I don't know if it was Mary Magdalene, or if she even had a name, but the woman that came in and wept on Jesus' feet and dried his feet with her hair. You remember that Pharisee was thinking to himself, if Jesus knew who this woman was, that she was a sinner, he would never allow this. But see, what was the Pharisee was prideful. How do we know Jesus said, hey, when I came inside to, I don't know if the Pharisee's name was Simon, maybe. Can't remember. But Simon, you didn't give me any water for my feet. You didn't show me any hospitality. You didn't show me any humility. You didn't show me any type of gentleness. You've got your position here. You're already righteous in your own self and your own pride and your own strength. And this woman here who understood my heart and who I was, understood my humility, became humble herself, kissing his feet, weeping and wiping his feet with her hair. See, she knew about this humility of who Jesus was. She knew somehow about this yoke that would be easy and his burden would be light. And as she came and repented in humility, what did Jesus say? Your sins are forgiven. The humility. Many, many people didn't quite understand it. It was really those who were forced into humble circumstances. You think about all those who followed Jesus. Why was it? They were willing to humble themselves and say, man, Jesus, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Jesus crying out, Jesus, Son of David, please. I'm crying out, and Jesus calls him, what do you need? I want to see. as everybody else around him was telling, was embarrassed of his crying out, Jesus. You think of the crowds. And he's crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What was he doing? He was humbling himself. He said, I don't care what anybody else around me thinks. I'm the one that's blind. I'm the one that can't see. So I'm going to put my pride aside. I'm going to cry out with all my heart. And his humility was rewarded with him being healed. Amen and amen. Proverbs 3:34 says, toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. Something about humility. As I was reading this and these different things going on in my heart struggles, and as I read this, and I realized that it's about humility. And so humility is, I said, Lord, I just lay these things down. I can't figure some of this out. I don't feel qualified for this or that. I can't do it. I can't carry this anymore. And as I saw this, all of a sudden it's just like my heart just melted. His presence just took away that anxiety, that anger, that trying to figure it out, or yeah, I'm going to respond this way. And then the Lord, then all of a sudden his humility became my humility. And then it's all of a sudden, Lord, I don't have to defend myself about anything. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to give it to you. And you're going to lead me and guide me. Amen. Matter of fact, I was reading this little booklet by Andrew Walmeck about leadership. And, you know, and you got all these different steps. And the first thing he talked about is a relationship with the Lord. And a relationship with the Lord leads to true humility. And true humility actually leads to effective leadership. You know, you can be a leader or want to be a leader and get a book on leadership and put all these steps together. But I'm telling you, in the kingdom of God, if there isn't an understanding of humility, it will be ineffectual. It'll actually be the work of the flesh. And you will be relying on your own abilities and talents to lead. And you will not be relying on the Spirit of God, because the Word of God says he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you're struggling in any way, shape, or form, it doesn't matter. Here's the thing, is you humble yourself. You say, Lord, I need you. I can't pretend that I'm this or that. I can't put any facades on and pretend like everything is okay. Lord, I humble myself. I cry out to you and say, Lord, you've got to be the one to lead and guide me. Lord, you're the one that's going to have to get me out of this mess. Lord, you're the one that's going to have to deliver me from this or that. Lord, you're the one that's going to have to help me figure out this situation. And then that's when we truly put his yoke on us. We think of putting a yoke on of something heavy and it's some do's and don'ts and doing things on our own ability. No, putting the yoke on is he is humble and gentle. And I'm pursuing that because if you're that way, then I want to understand what that's really like in my walk with you in the inner man. Hallelujah. You remember this, Matthew 16:21, we'll read this. From that time, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and to suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and the scribes and to be killed and to be raised up on the third day. And yet Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him, rebuking the Savior. Said he didn't take him aside and say, hey, can we talk about it? No, said he took him aside and rebuked him. Took him aside and rebuked him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, that shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's purposes, but men's. See, the idea of the Christ humbling himself to that degree, Peter said, no way that's going to happen. Let's continue a little bit long. We got some time. You ready? Can we keep going? Let's dig in a little bit further. Amen. James chapter 3. All right. James says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show it by his good behavior, his good behavior, his deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom. See, true wisdom really comes through that humbling ourselves, right? Receiving the wisdom from God. You remember when you're younger? I remember when I was younger and like I kind of knew everything. Do you remember anybody having those days? Maybe you might still be there. I don't know. I'll never forget. I was in our house. I was 27. I remember having this thought. You know what? My grandpa might be a little smarter than me. Can you believe that's what I said to myself? It was an epiphany. All of a sudden, it's like, you know what? I might not know everything. That was a little glimpse of maybe humility, right? It takes, really, as we grow in the Lord, here's the thing, immaturity in the Lord, we don't really understand humility. It's the same way in the natural. As we grow in the Lord, know his heart. As we pursue him, here's the wonderful thing, taking his yoke, he shows us about humility. And with his humility, when we yoke up with his humility and his heart and his gentleness, that's when the gateway from our spirit man into our soul and mind of wisdom can come forth. It really does. Why was Jesus able to operate 100% in wisdom? He was humble. He says, I'm humble at heart. He says, I only do what I hear my Father say. See, his humility says, look, I'm the Son of God, but I'm going to submit to everything he has to say while I'm here on earth. So as an example, when they're saying, Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. He's sitting down and writing. I have a sneaky suspicion he's communicating with his Father. Communicating with him. And there was probably other things going on. And then he was able to stand up and total wisdom and truth saying, he who has no sin, let him be the one that cast the first stone. See, no, Jesus wasn't saying that out of pride of in everything that he knew and who he was. No, he was doing that in complete humility as he waited to hear from his Father to respond to what they had to say. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show it by good behavior, his deeds, in the gentleness of wisdom. Gentleness and humility go together, amen? But it says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. It says this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is what? Earthly, natural, demonic. Wow. So we have this wisdom that we have with the humility that comes from Christ Jesus. And then the wisdom that you and I can operate in, if we're not careful, it's our choice, out of our own strength, our own ability, or what we see operating out of the world all the time is what? We see the wisdom that is earthly, natural, and demonic. Who's the God of this world? Satan, amen. It's just earthly. There's no connection with the Father. So it's just the wisdom. It's the wisdom that comes with what you're born with. And sometimes it may be quite a bit, or you may be out of luck and it may not be much. But you're tapped out of what you were born in the natural. But what's wonderful thing, the wisdom that comes from God, amen? Let me say, hear this. The wisdom that comes from God goes beyond anything that you might have called gray matter. It comes from the Father, amen? From the Holy Spirit. It can make you look wise beyond your years. Even King David said, I'm wise beyond my years. I'm wiser than those that are older than me. You know, how did King David get that? Was it because he was born that way? No. It was because he understood humility. Amen. He understood trusting the Lord and following him. Amen. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, and that's how the world operates, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is what is first pure. Hear this, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle. Isn't that part of humility? Reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, free hypocrisy. Amen. And so the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So the wisdom of God, man, will help with humility, will help us navigate with his peace and his wisdom through every set of circumstances in our lives. Did you know that? Now, do we have to sometimes wait upon him and seek that until, yeah. There's a wisdom that comes from the world that is rash right now, right? It's going to be this way. It can be harsh. And believe me, the world operates on that type of wisdom. The wisdom of this world operates that way. But the wisdom of God can many times be opposite of what you may be used to operating in your soul realm. As I've grown older, I'm just now learning about these things. Patience, gentleness, not perfect in it. But I remember years ago it was about this going to be right now. This is going to happen right now, and it doesn't matter whose feelings it hurts. It doesn't matter about anything. This is what we're doing. And sorry, I it's just business. Don't tell me that this is, you know, what the Lord will do or whatever. This is just business. This is the way it has to be. Fooey. No, that's called wisdom that's earthly, natural, and demonic. But we'll make excuses for it. It's just business. It's just the way it has to be. Come hell or high water, this is how it's going to have to look. It has no patience. It has no kindness. It has no humility. The heart of the Father. Now, does humility just mean with Jesus that he just rolled over? No. You know that he went into the temple, turned over the money changers' tables, took a whip, drove everybody out. Amen. So humility doesn't just mean that you roll over or whatever, but you're still led with the Spirit, with a humility. Amen. So the thing is Lord tonight saying, Lord, in areas, show us. This is what I come to realize. Finally getting there, maybe, is that when there's things that are heavy laden on me, things that are constantly irritating me, things that are just become a constant struggle. It's so easy to get caught into or get a heart posture of putting up a wall. You know what I'm talking about? And saying, this is how I'm going to deal with this. Because that's how I've always dealt with it. And so we can find ourselves into handling things with an attitude that is not his humility. And then when he shows us that and we humble ourselves, the Holy Spirit does such a deep work in our hearts. We're able to unload that and let that wisdom that comes from above begin to minister to us, touch and tenderize our hearts. We unburden ourselves. Amen. And then we rely on him and allow his Spirit to accomplish in that situation which he wants. Even in ministry, sometimes if we're not careful, we can be about, got to be this way, I'll run over anybody because I'm doing the Lord's work. That's not how he operates. Amen. It's good to be about the Father's business, but there's a heart and an attitude about it that is not demanding to other people, not demanding to a spouse or family. When it becomes demanding, I'm telling you, it's about the wisdom of this world. And you and I, God does not want us to operate. He wants to show us. He wants us to show us his gentleness. He wants to show us his kindness. He wants us to yoke up with his humility and allow him to lead and guide us in his rest and his peace. Amen. Can you stand up with me? Father, we love you. You love him tonight. Do you thank you for his goodness in your life, his grace in your life, his Holy Spirit in your life? Aren't you glad that he loves you so much that he says, hey, let me help you a little bit. Let me show you something. Let me show you a little blind area. Let me show you why it's been rough in this area. Let me show you why there's been such anxiety or an irritation in this area. Let me show you my humility, and let me show you what you need to do there. He's faithful to do that. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, thank you for showing us your gentleness and your humility. And as it comes forth from that, it comes forth as wisdom into our lives and in our heart to come from there. So we thank you for that, Lord. We bless you and we honor you. In the name of Jesus we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.